Welcome to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, January 21st, 2018.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So how do you respond when God calls? How do you respond when God calls? In our scriptures today, we have two extreme examples of how we could respond. We have Jonah. Now, in the passage that we heard read this morning, it sounds like everything is wonderful. Jonah just goes and prophesies to the Ninevites and they repent. But there's more to the story. When God called Jonah, famously, what did he do? He ran away. In fact, he needed to go 500 miles from home to Nineveh. Instead, he found the place that was the furthest away in the opposite direction, 2,500 miles away from where he lived, 3,000 miles from Nineveh, the end of the earth, to try to avoid doing what God wanted. And why? Why did he run away? Because he did not want to be obedient to God. He knew that God was a God of forgiveness. And Jonah, like many of his countrymen, hated the Assyrians, hated the Ninevites, and was hoping that God would utterly destroy them in the meanest way possible. So when God said, go and prophesy to them so that they will repent, Jonah said, No, I know better than you, God, and I am saying no. Well, we know how that worked out, right? God appointed a fish. The fish brought Jonah and spat him up in Nineveh, and he grudgingly prophesied to the Ninevites. I always picture Jonah walking through the streets like this, repent, repent, hoping that no one would listen. But they did. They repented, and God forgave them. And Jonah was taught a difficult lesson. Well, Jonah's one extreme of saying no to God, of thinking that we know better than God and rejecting the call. The disciples are the opposite extreme. In Mark's version, they don't even know Jesus, but when he shows up and says, follow me, what? Immediately, they leave their father, they leave their work, they leave their home, and they follow this homeless, penniless preacher. I imagine Zebedee, the father, going, ask him if he has a pension plan. They followed immediately. What makes the difference? When do we follow and when do we say no? I've been reading a lot about how people decide what they're going to do, how they decide whom they're going to follow. We like to think that we are objective, rational people, don't we? We weigh the evidence, we come to a conclusion, we make our decisions, and we follow them. But it turns out that is not the way the human mind is wired. We are heavily influenced by the people we surround ourselves with. It's more about who we're in a relationship with than about reason and logic. They've done all sorts of studies. There was a famous study done of some cult members. What would happen when this prophecy that the end of the world was coming, you know, there were these, this was before Heaven's Gate, this was in the 50s. There was this cult that believed that there were aliens who were going to come and take them away. And when the prophecy didn't come true, the the researchers were right there with them. And they said, okay, how are they going to respond now that this has all come crashing down? Will they change their minds about this whole belief system or not? And it turns out, not. They came up with all sorts of rationalizations about why this hadn't worked out, and they clung to their beliefs because they had put their trust in this leader. It makes me think that we have to be super careful about whom we trust, about who we listen to, and about how we choose what to do. We've all read, I think, and seen in the news the horrible story of the gymnasts and the doctor who abused them for years and years. It just has broken my heart as I listen to some of the testimony of the 140 young women who came to talk about this. And what struck me was the immense trust that this man had. Immense trust from parents, from Michigan State University, from the U.S. gymnastic team. Everyone trusted him. He must have been a very manipulative person. And the saddest story for me was a young woman named Kyle Stevens, whose family were close personal friends of the Nassers. And apparently he started abusing her when she was 6 years old. And when she talked to her parents later on and explained what was happening, they would not believe her because they had trust in Dr. Nasser. Surely she was misinterpreting what was going on. How heartbreaking. When the truth came out, the father committed suicide. I say this because we need to know the stakes of putting our trust in the wrong places and in the wrong people. It can have devastating consequences for us. How much more important it is for us to know who we trust and whom to follow. How much more important to know that all human beings are going to be limited and fallible. Maybe not Dr. Nasser's, but how many stories are there of clergy and parishes who have let people down, who have committed sins and crimes of various types. Political leaders, business leaders, Boy Scout troop leaders, you name it, we know the consequences when that trust is misplaced and when people let us down. I think it is all the more important, therefore, to remember the good news of our faith, that the one in whom we have the ultimate confidence is the one who has proved himself trustworthy over and over. The disciples followed Jesus. Maybe they were just lucky that they were in the right place at the right time, but I like to think that when they met Jesus, they recognized in him someone who was, in fact, trustworthy. When he spoke, they heard the voice of God. And that voice was confirmed by all of the deeds of Jesus' life. He not only talked the talk, but he walked the walk all the way to the cross. He was the one who welcomed children, who ate with sinners, who spoke with women in a time when that was considered taboo, who healed lepers, who crossed over those boundaries with Samaritans and Gentiles, always proclaiming and living and welcoming people into the kingdom of God. Jesus' disciples made that leap of faith, but that faith was tested and proven and confirmed every day of Jesus' earthly ministry until at last he came to the crucifixion and made the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of his disciples and all of us who have come down through the ages. We are tempted in this life to put our trust in all kinds of things. I don't know if you've cashed in all your retirement savings to buy Bitcoin. That's the latest thing. I hope not, just saying. There's always some new scheme, always some new goal, always some new person trying to manipulate our feelings, our fears, and our hopes. But as Christians, we return again and again to affirm our trust, our faith, our confidence in the one who calls us just as he called those early disciples. The one who says to us, follow me. I won't make you rich. I won't keep you healthy. I won't give you fame and fortune in this world, but what I will give you is the abundance of God's love and mercy and grace. What I will give you is a life in the kingdom of God that you can experience now and forever. Put no trust in earthly rulers, in wealth, in fame or fortune, but trust the one who has proved himself trustworthy, Jesus, who calls us, who leads us, and who never lets us down.